A new year, time for new growth. Grow your education and skills with Herzing University. Our online behavioral health programs fit your schedule and time. From an 8-month diploma program in health and human services to a 36-month bachelor's in psychology. Grow your behavioral health career with us wherever you are in your education. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Visit us online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109. Online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109.
Guys, welcome back to our channel.
Welcome back to Teacher Quit Talk. Life is lifing.
Like, life is lifing. Did I tell you how life has lifed me recently?
No, tell me.
I think I might have already told you, but it's just the same thing keeps happening. My grad school keeps being like, we're going to drop you. You owe us money. But then when the federal government tries to give them the money, because I have a grant, the grad school is like, oh my God, stop. We're not ready yet. We don't want the money until July 2nd. And then they call me and they're like, we need the money yesterday, bitch. Give us the money. And I'm like, you are giving really different energies. I don't have the money. And just on principle, I'm not giving it to them. Because what they want me to do is give it to them. And then they said, once they get the money from the federal government, they'll refund me. But I was like, the federal government has been trying to pay you since April. Just accept it.
It sounds fake.
It's giving fake. They're lying to me. I feel very gaslit.
Speaking of gaslighting,
we're really getting back to our roots today.
We really are. We asked our patrons why they've quit this year, because 'tis the season. If you quit, you probably already did. I don't know. Maybe not. Some people quit in like the 11th hour because they're like waiting to get a job lined up, because let's be real, capitalism waits for no one. So we support you. But
yeah, a couple teachers at my school, I'm not going to name names, a couple of teachers at my school signed their contracts for next year because we have to sign it before the year ends. I'm confident if I pulled up mid-July, they would give me a contract, but I digress. A couple teachers I know signed it and they were like, I am going to look for another job. They like said that to me on the low. And I was, they were like feeling so guilty. And I was like, don't feel bad. Do not feel bad at all.
I feel like a lot of people put out the energy of like, we're a family here. No, they're not. They are not your family. And they're going to replace you the moment that they see fit. And they're going to be fine.
They're School literally will happen, be
fine. Or it won't happen. And it's fine.
Everything's fine.
Don't let them guilt you.
You can quit an hour into first period on the first day of school if you want. There's no bad time.
They're going to say you can't. No, you can. They just don't want you to. And that's advice, live by it.
When they say you can't, I need you to in your head translate that to it will be inconvenient for me. So anytime your boss or your principal says you can't do that, in your mind, replace that with that would be really inconvenient for me. And that's okay, because that's part of being a boss, is sometimes people do things that are inconvenient for you. Unfortunately, that's your job.
Exactly. That's why they pay you the big bucks.
Exactly.
Anyways, so with that, some of you did quit and you paid $4 to tell us about it.
Next year, maybe we'll charge $5.
Do you want to read the ones on the Patreon and then we'll do the email ones, or what do we feel?
Sure. Let me start with the Patreon ones just because I already have them up. We're not saying their names, right? The Patreon is a secretive community.
No, it's pretty secretive. But if you pay $4, you can see the names of the people that we're about to read their stories because they're public facing. So,
and you can do, okay, so on House Hunters International, they used to show the people's last names and I would always look them up on Facebook to see if they still lived in that country. That's just like a fun little way to watch TV from my perspective. So if you want to recreate that, you have to join the Patreon. My personal favorite is when a couple moved to a new country and then I look them both up on Facebook and only one of them is there. I'm like, do I message them? Like, what happened?
Oh my God, T.
Imagine you were on a random fucking House Hunters International show in like 2007 with your random ass boyfriend when he got some weird international job. And then some bitch from a teaching podcast messages you in 2024 and is like, so Italy, did it work out?
Who wouldn't look it up?
It was a brief time that they put the first and last names on there. I'm assuming because of people like me, that's why they stopped and now they just use first names. Okay, anyway.
So why did they quit? Tell me everything.
So they said, this past school year, I worked as the assistant band director for my old high school while simultaneously working on my bachelor's degree in music education. I absolutely loved my job. I had amazing and supportive administration with minor behavioral issues from the kids. They wanted me to come back this year, but I had to tell them no. As much as I loved my job, it's just too much for one person to be a full-time student and even a part-time teacher. And not to mention that my head band director went on maternity leave in February and I was left to run the program by myself. Ugh, being an undergrad and being expected to run a whole band program.
I don't think that's realistic.
I knew if I worked again in the fall, I would probably have a mental breakdown. And you know what? Good on you. Good on you for quitting, because most of us would have just let ourselves get to the point of the mental breakdown. Yep. And that mm-hmm. would have been worse.
That does no one any good.
And they said, also student teaching next spring, so I couldn't have signed a full year contract anyway. Not a bad story by any means, just reality. Figured it could be a change of pace from this usual traumatic story.
honestly, thank you.
So true. Thank you.
We need to start with something light.
We need to start with just like a, it's not working out. No one did anything. It's just our schedules aren't meshing.
And that's perfectly valid. But you're doing student teaching, so you're going to be back. Yeah. In some capacity.
Or whether they want you to or not. Do you want me to read the other one? The other one's longer.
Yeah, let's read the other one.
Okay. I didn't quit teaching altogether, but I can tell you why I left my first ever teaching gig. That's another big category of people that are just switching schools or positions or something. I actually helped someone do that. A friend of a friend of mine really didn't like her school, and now she's coming to my school, so I'm going to feel really bad if it goes poorly for her.
You've had a great experience, though, so that's not on you.
Okay. I didn't quit teaching altogether, but I can tell you why I left my first ever teaching gig. I was fresh out of college and started working at a government-funded Head Start program that had a partnership with a local school for universal pre-K. Sounds like the same vibe as my old place. It was government-funded, but it was a private place. My interview was amazing with a seemingly fantastic director. They always seem fantastic. I told her all about my teaching philosophy, and she told me everything I wanted to hear. She said I was a perfect fit based on everything I described about my ideal day. She told me I would hear back in a week because other candidates were interviewing, but she called me back the next day and to tell me that she canceled all of her other interviews because I was so impressive. There were never other interviews, you guys, just in case anyone hadn't read between the lines.
There never are.
I was so excited to be teaching this age because it was my absolute dream and still is. Due to all this hype, I took the job despite it paying shit and not being a part of the New York State retirement system, as it's technically not a public school position, which is a huge deal for teachers in New York because the retirement system has such great benefits. That's also a big deal because lots of states that have a state employee retirement system, you are not paying into Social Security. So if you don't end up getting the benefits that you paid into, you're not going to get Social Security either if you haven't been paying into it. Because that's a big thing to check, especially if you're a government employee. Double check on whether or not you're paying into Social Security. Well, big fucking mistake. I was paired with a TA who hated me because I took her position as the lead teacher. Mind you, she had just gotten her TA cert that month, so I have no clue how she was the lead teacher. I was required to brush the kids' teeth twice a day, wasn't allowed to hang non-agency approved posters or have non-agency approved toys, wasn't given a lunch breaks or any breaks at all, even after my kids left. My coworker was fired for eating a slice of pizza because it was stealing company time, and I was told by my amazing director that I clearly don't know how to teach because I would do quick 5-10 minute lessons on the rug, exposing students to letters, doing read alouds, and playing social emotional skill games. She said that kids couldn't sit that long and I was impeding their learning time by not even letting them play, even though they did have at least 2.5 hours a day during our 9 to 2 schedule for free play. That's a pretty long time. Also, I was reamed for having kids do crafts because I was ruining their creativity. Mind you, the crafts had super loose instructions. I just wanted them to vibe with the materials in front of them. That's so true. I love when kids are vibing with materials. I'm sorry they stole that from you. I cried every night and had a panic attack so bad it took me 4+ hours to physically calm myself down from it. I eventually gave my director a 1-week notice because I didn't think I could handle her bullying any longer than that. She called me unprofessional and said I was ruining the education of the children and emailed the parents that I was departing without telling me, so I was bombarded with parent messages and forced me to come to her office every day for random things that could have just been an email so that she could stare me down. Somehow she found out that I ended up getting a job at the school we were partnered with. She called the principal and told her that I was a loser and know nothing about teaching. Loser is a hilarious choice of words. Like, for, like, a director to call a principal, like, unprofessional, difficult to work with, like, those seem like normal conversations. But imagine being a principal and a colleague calls you and is like, she's a loser. I would be like, what are you talking about?
I would already have had some opinions of that colleague, I think. Like, it's giving bozo. It's like,
it's giving clown. Welcome to the circus. Because there's lots of ways where she could have talked shit about you in a professional way. Like, she could have said, like, she didn't give notice. It was, she does not like to follow direction. She's combative. Like, there's lots of ways to communicate to a colleague to not hire someone. But if a colleague of mine was like, she's a loser, I would be like, I think you might be a loser.
Uno reverse.
Have you seen
actually
that meme of Phaedra from Real Housewives of Atlanta saying loser?
Loser!
Loser.
She'll join us in the episode art. Take a look.
Perfect. Okay, anyway, she had more. Hold on, let me go back.
Loser.
Oh, you were right. Luckily, the principal couldn't stand her ass either and told me that she didn't blame me from running away there. I had an incredible year at my new school and was often praised for the principal on my teaching ability. In conclusion, fuck you, Nikki, from trying to steer me away from education. I'm thriving, bitch.
Oh my God, I love our patrons' energy. I just feel like the people who are over there are just really gems of human beings.
And I love how it's so consistently, like, when you guys talk about your students, even if you're talking about a bad situation, y'all are like, they're learning, and you just sound so, like, kind and gentle and understanding. And then as soon as you talk about your admin, you're like, fuck you, you fucking bitch. And that's exactly the energy I want to curate on this podcast.
You are our community, and we value you, and we see you.
I'm seeing you, I'm hearing you, and I'm standing with you. Fuck you, Nikki. And fuck Nikki Haley, now that we're adding on.
You know what? I've been saying fuck Nikki Haley for a long time.
And then this Nikki is spelled the same way. Is it the same Nikki?
It's her. She would call somebody a loser on the phone. Okay, well, thank you for sharing, you guys. I love you so much. This person quit, and I'm going to tell you why. I worked as a special education teacher assistant for 5th, 6th grade. This was in 2019, 2021. After COVID hit and we came back into the classroom, in the beginning of 2021, the teacher and I focused on SEL and teaching the kids how to be little humans. Of course, we still taught what was necessary, but we really wanted to bring structure back into their worlds. And God bless you for doing it, because holy shit, that was a rough year. We were doing so well that other teachers wanted to put their students with behavior plans into our classroom, which we were not equipped for. I think we had 3 extra kids, making our class size around 15 for just the 2 of us. We had a roving third teacher who would come in for math/English, but was really no help. They took no initiative and would not keep classroom behavior expectations. Any hoozles. Oh, cute. Thanks for that. What really got me to quit was the pay. Duh, I was making $12 an hour. Lack of administrative support and all the extra hands that came in at the end of the year to, quote, help. Yeah, they always do that, don't they? Our principal wanted to be buddy-buddy with the students, so he'd take them for walks and have them pick up trash outside.
Buddy-buddy by having them do janitorial work.
Perfect. The children yearn for trash.
The children yearn for doing physical labor. It's so funny.
My toddler and one of my best friend's toddlers, we went to the park together. They picked up trash so many times. The nastiest pieces of trash that you could find, they're like little magnets too. So you know what? The children do yearn for trash. Maybe I judged that principle too quickly. This person says, one of our students would misbehave just to have him come down and give the student exactly what he wanted. No, I actually hate your principal. I was right the first time. This happened when that student threw a desk at me and threatened other students. That same student, who also had a, quote, behavioral assistant who he would punch/kick, and the BA wouldn't even alert anyone. ? Like, hello, I'm watching this happen and being extra frantic over the walkie. Speaking of this guy, we had several behaviorists come in and try to, quote, help our classroom, but instead enforced rules on kids they didn't even know or have a relationship with. Eye roll emoji. That is one of my biggest pet peeves.
Hello, content warning. Skip the next, minute because there's a reference to miscarriage.
Love you, bye.
This happened to me all the time when I was fucking pregnant. They would come into my room and not only like try to enact rules because they're, quote, helping, but like the most punitive rules you've ever heard in your life. Like just things that made no sense, were not connected to anything. And then my kids would revolt, shocking. And they would also sprinkle like, oh, and by the way, your teacher's pregnant, and if you're mean, she's going to lose the baby. And then I would come back, and my kids would be like, Miss, if your baby dies, are you coming to school tomorrow? And I literally would be like, just kill me, actually.
I feel like that's when my admin would, at my old school, my new school, they don't do this, my admin at my old school would come in to quote-unquote help, and they would like yell at kids about their hoodies. And I'm like,
oh my God.
Okay, but if we could calmly tell them about the Industrial Revolution, like when I said help, I meant with that. I don't really care. Yeah. And then they'd be like, Ms. Redacted, seems like you're not really following dress code in here. And I was like, how did helping turn into me being in trouble? How'd we get here?
Like, if you could just come into my classroom and maybe run a phonics center for me, that would be sick.
Or just clean. Just clean. There's always stuff to clean.
There's always something to do.
I had a funny moment when I was packing up my room, and I don't even have to pack it up that much. They just told me like everything needs to be like away. I have like this doom pile behind my desk that I just pile on there. If I have a worksheet, put it on the doom pile. If I have some random folder from the district, doom pile, I just put it all there. And every day I would look at it and it would stress me out so bad. And I was like, I don't know when I could ever deal with this doom pile. And it just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger all year. And I kept telling myself I was going to do something with it and like organize it. And because a lot of it was extra copies of like projects and work that I want to save for next year, but just everything was mixed together. And so I had just convinced myself that it was like a completely impossible task. And then it came the day that I had to deal with the doom pile. Like it was like 2 or 3 days before the last day of school. And I was like, okay, I'm going to deal with it. And I had hyped it up to be this huge thing. It took 17 minutes.
Yeah, I do that to myself all the time.
To deal with the whole thing.
As we speak, I have doom piles all around my house. Yes.
Like most of it, I just put in a file cabinet organized by topic. Like it was so not a big deal. And I was like, the way I've looked at this pile every day for months and it's made me want to cry. When if one day I had just set aside 20 minutes, I could have dealt with it.
Best like advice that I ever got in terms of that was if you just set like a 15 minute timer and like do a task while the timer is going, you'll surprise yourself by like how short a time it actually takes to do these things, like unload the dishwasher. So I'll just some days put on like a 15 minute timer and be like, let's see what I can knock out. And I'm always like, well, that wasn't that bad. That really wasn't that bad.
I learned that from Casey Davis.
Her like idea of struggle care is amazing.
Yeah.
Doom bins have changed my life.
Do you want to read our next submission?
Let me finish this one.
Yes.
Originally, with my college degree, I wanted to bring recreational therapy into my local school district. My big idea is to help adapt PE so all students can participate and lead SEL groups. However, it's not seen as needed, but oh boy, did my experience teaching show me just how needed it is. Here's hoping. Fingers crossed. Amen. Good Lord. Moving on. Why I quit teaching. Ooh, this one's very organized and very, very long.
Love and organized queen.
Okay, why I quit. I actually enjoyed my first year at my first school, but I was moved mid-pandemic to a brand new school in my district. From day one, it was a complete disaster. Behavioral issues were out of control. Special education and English language learning services were practically non-existent, and there were no best practices. I love the way you put that. Expectations were completely unrealistic. For example, during the pandemic, we would be live streaming to kids at home while teaching 20 plus first graders in person. We had to upload virtual content, send copies home, and prep for the kids physically in our classes. To be counted present, the virtual kids needed to be on Zoom from 8:45 to 3:15. Oh, Jesus. Which was a huge waste of time and completely developmentally inappropriate for first grade. We had to record our entire Zooms and were not allowed to call on kids in class for behavioral issues. Kids could also never have masks off, leave their seats, with the exception of going to the bathroom or leaving the classroom, share any items, or even play on the playground equipment. They were completely miserable and no one learned anything. On top of all of this, it was an extremely impoverished area, and many of my kids had extremely traumatic home lives and already had extreme behavioral issues and needs. We did not do any contact tracing because we didn't have to, by stating our rule was keeping kids 3 feet apart with masks on. So COVID spread like crazy. Teachers were quitting left and right. And for the first time in my life, I broke out in horrible acne and started to develop health issues from how high my stress levels were. I considered leaving in the first couple of weeks, but was convinced to stay by a member of my union. My admin believed that clip charts, yelling, and taking away recess could basically solve any behavioral issues or just exacerbate everything, maybe. Maybe those are the worst ideas they've ever had. Ugh. She brought a lot of her friends to the school, and it was obvious that there was a lot of special treatment. Year two at this school, I started to notice that I had gotten a very high percentage of the behavioral issues. While my team members, who had grown up with her and been friends with her for decades, got 2 or 3 kids with serious behavioral intervention plans. I had 8. I also got the most severe special education classes, including kids who would only get pulled out for 30 minutes a day, who could not even form the first letter in their name. I had never had kids who did not know a single letter or letter sound, and I had to somehow incorporate them into all of the lessons without any push-in services. I tried to advocate for them, and the reevaluation process took the entire school year. That's one of my freaking pet peeves. I even felt guilty for sending kids to special education because our special education pullout services included one teacher with around 20 kids in her, quote, group. That's always what they would say to me. They'd be like, oh, we're so swamped. You can't send them because we're swamped. And it's like, oh, okay.
Perfect.
That's a whole other freaking conversation that I would love to go on a tangent about. But you can imagine. Most had significant behavioral issues, so she could never get them any help. They also had completely different needs, so there was no point to services at all. She sometimes had a para, but was often on her own. And I was also dealing with emotional disturbance kids and students who had already been expelled from their previous schools. CPS cases were constant. Whenever I went to admin for help, my concerns were completely dismissed. It wasn't uncommon to see teachers crying in random areas of the school. Oh my God, that was me. We even lost 3/4 of one of our grade level teams by December that year. I also dealt with sexual harassment, physically aggressive parents, and even had my wallet stolen from another staff member. The school was so desperate for hiring, they lied to a student teacher's university that there was a host teacher present when the teacher had actually quit weeks prior.
Incredible. No notes. I love that.
The thing that, like, it's crazy to me is that a story like this should be such an isolated incident, but me, and I'm sure many people listening, that is not isolated. Like, that happens enough that multiple of these things, I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot that happened at that school. Oh yeah, I forgot that happened 1 year. Because this is the shit that we're talking about when we say that teachers are dealing with so many issues that are, like, compounded by other issues. It's like a snowball. And this is so real. And this isn't even it. We're not even done.
One thing, I was talking about this the other day. My pet peeve on teacher issues is where, like, because this is something I'm trying to work on, I get, like, very in a tizzy when things go wrong or, like, something changes. And I was talking about it to my friend the other day because I was, and they were like, just let it go. It'll probably work out okay. And I was like, but when you're a teacher, it's not like an adult corporate job where, like, if there's a problem in 2 weeks, you kind of forget about it. With teaching, a problem is going to lead to a million other problems. So that's why I feel like I have such an intense emotional reaction when something changes, is actually because I freaked the fuck out about my grad school, because I'm just so used to, like, when something goes wrong, it causes so many other reverberating issues. And I had to kind of, like, check myself and be like, it's one email, relax.
No, I know exactly what you mean, though. Like, your body is almost trained to have a certain response because of your experiences over such a long period of time. And I feel like people that aren't in the profession like that don't really understand. Because how could you? So, like I said, we have more, unfortunately. Everybody take a deep breath. They would have a random teacher. Okay, so this is about the student teacher with no host teacher. They would have a random teacher pop into the room whenever she got observed by her professor. So they paid her, quote, curriculum pay because wages are public so they wouldn't get caught. That is so exploitative, and I guarantee you that the student teacher did not know their rights, did not know what was being done to them was, like, really fucked up, because it was probably presented to them as, like, well, you got it. Like, you're doing such a great job.
They're like, we just thought that you slayed so hard that you should be alone because you're just slaying so hard, and we really just love that so much.
That's, like, worse than your first year teaching, because you literally know nothing. You don't know anything. And even the best teacher preparation programs will not fully equip you, because so much of the learning is on the job and you're not even taught everything. How are you supposed to know anything about, like, the process for how a school runs when it's like post-COVID? Nothing is running normally even. So teachers with 30 years of experience are floundering. Like, that's so fucked up, and I feel so bad for them.
It's not an ideal situation by any means.
No. Continuing, because there's still more. Year three at this school was my last. I again started the year with having to look through a huge stack of behavioral records. 7 of these kids were self-harmers, 6 were elopers, and several were very aggressive, including chair throwing, desk flipping, biting, hitting, and stabbing.
All right.
Yeah.
I shouldn't laugh, but just the hitting and stabbing kind of caught me off guard.
No, I know. Much of the laughing we do when we're reading things like this is just, like, it's fucking ridiculous.
It's like, ooh, I just, like, don't know what other reaction to have, so I'm sorry.
No, I'm with you. I had 2 CPS removals that were both extremely traumatic experiences, as well as many other cases. This time, I also got 5 English learning students, including kids who did not know any English at all. At this point, special education services were even more non-existent. Oh, I remember. Both special education and English language learning were lucky if they got pulled for 15 minutes a day. Sometimes weeks went by without services due to staffing issues. Oh, gosh, I remember this so vividly. Our counselor could never see my kids, even when I had situations like their parents dying, because she was constantly having to put out fires. Holy fuck! CPI holds were a daily thing in many classrooms because admin felt there was not enough time to properly de-escalate situations. If you don't know what CPI holds are, these are restraints, and they should only be used in situations where there's an immediate danger to students or others. So, like, these really are last resort things. And the only way that you can touch a student or restrain a student, no matter what they're doing, is if you have this very specific training and clearance, basically.
Yeah, because that's why my administrators tell me I'm not allowed to break up fights, because they always say you haven't gone to the training. And for a long time, I was like, what are you all talking about?
Mm-hmm. They were supposed to send me to the training, but then COVID happened. So here we go. Okay, so CPI holds were a daily thing in many classrooms because admin felt there was not enough time to properly de-escalate situations. I was even told to put a child in a CPI hold once when I was never trained to. I was constantly giving these kids my all, and it was never enough. I went to admin again, pleading for help, and was never given any. My admin came in one day for an observation, which I thought went pretty well. One student refused to work and started to hurt herself, but the rest of my students were engaged and on task for the majority of the lesson. My admin completely bombed me. I had almost never gotten anything below effective in any area, with the exception of something like not referring to the I can statements throughout the lesson, which, babes, first of all, fuck those. So, continuing. In my entire career, and she marked me below in almost all categories. She also wrote an aggressive email to me afterwards about how my kids, quote, needed more from me. I was completely shocked. I had probably had about a dozen observations in my career at this point, and honestly had no idea on how I could improve given the circumstances I was in. It brought me into a complete breakdown / depressive state. I even cried in front of my kids, which I had never done before. I ended up getting my admin to observe me again because weeks prior to the observation, one of my coworkers had advocated for me to the superintendent. I kept getting the ELs, who needed a lot of attention and brought my class size higher than the other sections. The superintendent had made it clear to my admin in a meeting that I was not in that two behavioral students needed to be transferred out of my class to keep things more fair. I had not known about this, and my admin had never followed through. I brought it up in my post-observation after learning about the situation from a coworker who was in the meeting, and she panicked, thinking I would throw her under the bus for not following through on what the superintendent had told her to do. In the next observation, she gave me all high scores, even though it was very similar to the first one. In the weeks that followed, I cried on my way to work most days and counted down the hours until I could go home. I no longer gave it my all and just did whatever I could to make it through the day. I felt nothing and no longer got excited about the parts of teaching that I had previously enjoyed. I felt completely unappreciated and never trusted what would be coming around the corner. I am still not really sure what caused my admin to give me such rough classes or score me so low that day, but I am really grateful for that really shitty time because it caused me to come to the realization that I needed to leave. I thought about leaving to a different district, but decided that I should give an attempt to pivot out of teaching first. I landed my first non-teaching interview in May 2023, and it was a perfect fit. I work in HR learning and development. I host new hire orientation for my company, as well as work on LMS content and all projects related to training. I also assist with pre-employment and the onboarding process. I make a lot more money than I did teaching, I'm respected so much more, and I feel like I can actually have a personal life now because I'm not so stressed and tired all the time. I have a great relationship with my supervisor, and my team members are amazing. Whenever I need help, I have multiple people showing up for me. I would consider some of them like family. I also got news that layoffs are happening at my old school and district, and I can't be more grateful that I am where I am. I don't see myself going anywhere anytime soon. Oh, the end. Happy ending.
I love a happy ending.
What a trip.
Yikes. And also the school doing layoffs, the economy is really bad.
Do you think it's a charter?
Oh, maybe. That's a good point. I was going to say, public schools don't do layoffs that often.
I'm so glad that you're doing well, but that's like brutal.
Well, this is a long one. Okay. Do you want this to be our last one?
Maybe, yeah.
Okay. So, love the intro. I didn't know how much I needed to get this off my chest until I started typing. So, I needed a job in the new state I moved to. And since I moved in February, I decided to take a building sub position at a school in the only huge district in the area. I knew that the school was Title I, but I didn't know it had a reputation for being the toughest school in the district. I subbed as a reading specialist and took intervention groups. The principal made me feel like such an asset to the school and a very capable teacher. I think being a sub and doing reading intervention groups is like a great first time teaching gig because it's like a lot of really good hands-on experience without a ton of like long-term commitment and follow through on like documents and confusing things. So where was I? She hired me on as a first grade teacher for the next year. Then she moved to a new school and half of the staff quit because of her. I had no clue so many of my colleagues didn't like her and she was shady and put on a lot of smoke and mirrors to make me feel valuable and keep me on staff. We got a new principal and new staff. I was moved to second grade and then days before school started, I got moved back to first. They had enough returning staff and enough new staff to put a veteran teacher with a new staff member in each grade, except for first. They put me, a new teacher who had a quarter of a year of experience, with another new teacher in first grade, the most crucial year for reading. I kind of knew that the group I would be teaching was tough behaviorally, but damn, I underestimated them by a long shot. We started the year with 28 first graders, and luckily I got our class size reduced by adding a K-1 split class. Then I had 21 in my class, but because the K-1 split was led by a long-term sub, I had to keep all my behaviors. I had 7 children who constantly had explosive and often violent outbursts. I could put out one fire between 2 students and then turn around to see another fire between 2 other students. We had room clears all the time for children completely trashing the room, flipping tables and chairs, and full-on fights. Children chasing each other around the room and completely ignoring me and would elope constantly. It was chaos, it was unsafe, and I was lacking the adequate experience to get control of it. I asked for help at every turn and I cried all the time. I even told my principal that I wanted to quit in October, and she said, "I'm not going to let you do that. You've come too far and worked too hard. You've never come too far." I had an amazing mentor and an amazing instructional coach, and truly the principal was a great educator. I loved working with them and I admired them, but they let me down. I ended up having to have a formal meeting with my principal, assistant principal, and union rep where they just ripped into me and told me everything I was doing wrong. They felt that because I had worked at the school for a quarter as a sub, I had a grasp on the curriculum and my focus should be on behaviors and class community. They just wouldn't give me any grace. I tried. I tried so hard. When we had Christmas break, I was finally at peace. I asked a union rep if I could quit mid-year and they said I shouldn't because I could lose my license. I'll never forget being told that and saying, okay, but what am I supposed to do about my mental health? The rep got really quiet saying, okay, let me talk to your principal, and then getting a call back 10 minutes later that I was free. My principal and subsequently the state wouldn't go after my license and she just let me go. I truly think she was happy to see me go. A lot of my colleagues felt awful for me, but I can't help but thinking that they were happy to see me go too. I think they were happy for you, but I don't think they were happy to see you go. But I think the happiness you're detecting is not wrong. I think they were just happy for you. I don't think you should take it as like a dig on your teaching. A para was in that room next to me, was actually said she was disappointed in me for quitting. I'll never forget that either. She's projecting. She wants to quit and she needs to figure out why it's not okay. So don't even worry about her either. It was so traumatic. After I left, I returned to teaching preschool and found my happiness and passion in the profession again. God, I needed to get that off my chest. Thank you for helping me see my worth and toxic work environments for what they are. Also, let me know if you want to know what state this was in. The answer may surprise you.
We always want to know. It makes me happy that people listen to this podcast and then like feel good and empowered. But like, it makes me sad that so many people are going through shit like this.
Yeah, like... I wish you guys weren't going through it, but I'm glad that when you are going through it, we're here for you.
Right?
It would be better if none of us went through this at all, ever.
Yeah, for real. But thanks for tuning in and feeling a little better about it, I guess.
I feel good. Hope you guys are feeling good. I think that Nikki, the principal, is not feeling good.
No, nor should she. She's so awful. Oh my God, Alaska.
Oh, I was just talking about Alaska last night on my stream. It's a spooky place.
Yes. We learned so much from you.
Thanks for joining Teacher Quit Talk. We hope that you learned. We hoped that you laughed. We hope that you cried positively, not negatively.
Have a good day.
We love you all.
Happy summer. We love you. Toodaloo.